Welcome to Energy Matters, where we explore alternative health in the Pioneer Valley. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and I'm a Reiki teacher in Northampton, Massachusetts. For the past 8 years, I've been teaching people how to reduce anxiety and burnout. Together, we'll talk with other practitioners and learn how they bring health and healing to the Pioneer Valley. Let's do this.
Hey, welcome, welcome, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters, and I am your host, Caroline Rutterman. And today we have a great show for you. We are sitting here with Lynn Curry, who is an acupuncturist right here in Florence. So welcome, Lynn.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So Lynn, go ahead and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm an acupuncturist and Chinese herbal medicine practitioner here in the Valley. Going on 23 and a half years.
Wow.
I know. Have you been living in the Pioneer Valley
for 25 years or 23 years?
Yeah, since 91.
Wow.
I've been here. So, I've had the honor and privilege of practicing in, downtown Northampton originally, and I've been in Florence since maybe 91. So, yeah, it's been amazing. So, I practice acupuncture. I was trained at the New England School of Acupuncture out in in Boston area. And I've been practicing herbal medicine as well.
Lovely. So you must have been able to really see the evolution of Northampton and since 1991 to 2020.
Covered some territory here.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Absolutely. I think when I started my practice, there were already quite a lot of seasoned acupuncturists in the area. So it was already a great place to be practicing in terms of, having a real acupuncture presence here. It was interesting when I was in school, there were folks that were sort of headed off to places where there were not acupuncturists, and it was sort of their job to sort of educate their communities about acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine and what it could do for them. And so their work was, bringing it to other places. But practicing in this area is more, distinguishing yourself, sticking around long enough to have, a community presence. So it's just different ways of starting a practice. But this area has had a rich history of great and longstanding practitioners for a long time.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
When I first got started practicing Reiki, I was in Hudson, New York, and I was one of the pathfinders with Reiki. People had no idea. They'd never heard the word before. Here in the Pioneer Valley, people might know the word. Maybe they've had it done before. Maybe they know somebody. So it was sort of in the consciousness out here, but it is a challenge when you're bringing something totally fresh to a new audience. And when I came here, I was like, whew.
Right. What do you mean you know Reiki?
It becomes a little easier when
right. The conversation's already happening and you get to jump in and add another layer to it.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So you've been practicing acupuncture for over 20 years, and what has really inspired you to to do this, this career?
Yeah, stick with it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I started, fairly young. It's interesting, when I was in acupuncture school, I graduated in 96, and a lot of the people in my class were second or third career. So, that was the sort of setting. I was one of the youngest people in my crew. So this was my first career. So you're right, sort of figuring out how to do this and be in practice and, do something for the long haul is, how it feels to me. And a lot of people had come from other sorts of professions altogether or different kinds of health fields and, were trying to figure out how to start over again. So I feel like I was so lucky to stumble upon it so early and to be able to jump in and to a career that has so much expansion. And the field has changed a lot over the couple of decades I've been doing it, and to be in the flow of that kind of growth and change and, expanding conversation about acupuncture. The field is really rapidly changing right now. So it's interesting to be kind of in the middle, where there's definitely people who've been doing it a lot longer and have that perspective. And then there's just lots and lots more people that are going as kind of conventional graduate degrees, right? So they're coming out of college and going right to acupuncture school and graduating, you know, ready to roll in their 20s. So that's interesting change, just to kind of go from like the night classes with the second and third career folks to sort of seeing how the field is really more commensurate with other kinds of health practices. That's definitely a change. So in terms of staying invigorated, I guess for me, I think part of that is really maintaining a general practice. I think there's a trend towards specialization, which has lots of advantages in some ways. But for me, I think one of the things that drew me to acupuncture was the holistic perspective and the ability to work with such a wide range of issues that people are dealing with. When I was a teenager, when I was still in high school, I thought I would study PT or OT, and there was lots of things that appealed to me about that. But I felt I didn't want to sort of be stuck treating just particular kinds of problems. So when the opportunity arose to study a more general medicine practice, that really appealed to me. So I think part of why it's been such a good choice and had such longevity in the field is that I can work with so many different kinds of things, you know, and get to do continuing ed. You know, we're professionally obligated to take continuing ed every 2 years to renew our license. And so you've got the chance to try all kinds of different layers of the medicine that keeps it lively.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the kind of interesting aspect when you're working with people in a very generalized way is that there are own patterns of people mm-hmm. that come in.
Yeah.
So sometimes you might be working on sinus.
Right. It's the shoulder month.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any particular patterns of people that
it's
have been coming through lately?
It's plantar fasciitis week.
Oh, what's that all about?
So I just was thinking that today. I was like, okay, that's the third person who's called me in the last 2 weeks to ask about that. You know, why now? You wind up with a specialization for a short term, I think. You know, something comes that then another one comes and then another one comes.
Yeah.
I have had that experience with a variety of different kinds of things. So I think, you know, I think it's my, you know, advanced training. When you see a bunch of things, I think, oh, this is my chance to really delve into that and really see the different ways that presents and that people respond differently. You know, the treatments may look similar or they may not, depending on what people are dealing with. So that's always a great way to sort of invigorate your practices, to have different people dealing with the same problem. That's not the same problem because they're different people.
Right.
And that's one of the things that, you know, that keeps it interesting and exciting. You don't wind up kind of in a rut. You can't, right? You can't be in a rut.
Yeah.
Or you're sort of missing the opportunity of holistic medicine.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you find that when you're treating different people for the same thing that the needle patterns maintain mm-hmm. consistency, or when you're, I guess, explain a little bit, like when you're seeing different people with different things, what is your process as an acupuncturist when you're kind of approaching not a person necessarily, but a repeated
right
ailment,
like a diagnosis,
yes.
Like a Western diagnosis,
exactly.
Right. So if I had six people with headaches, right, something like that. So you know, one of the wonderful things about Chinese medicine is our pattern diagnosis, right? Understanding the system that's presenting itself. So there may be, you know, certainly people know, oh, this point's really great for headaches, right? And that may be, that's, you know, the one between the finger and one in the forehead.
Yeah.
And the, you know, so you have these points that people are like, oh, that's the Chinese medicine, you know, headache point, which, you know, can certainly be part of a prescription and maybe extra helpful. And, you know, it's kind of a good point in certain kinds of ways, but that's not the pattern description or the pattern discrimination. You know, we want to sort of understand what's happening in that. You know, if you've got somebody who's very hardy and strong and they have, you know, X, Y, and Z happening, that's going to be different than somebody who's, you know, weak and frail. And, you know, how that dynamic's playing out is going to be really different. So wanting to support that system as it's presenting. Somebody may have a muscular tension pattern that's really different than somebody who has a hormonal imbalances or really different kinds of headaches. So, you know, from a Western medicine perspective, we might say, oh, headache, you know, here's the treatment. Everybody gets the Tylenol or the Advil, but we're always having the opportunity to sort of see what all of the dynamics are in the body and to be able to address those imbalances to help with a headache, which doesn't mean we might not use those fabulous headache points because those are good points to direct the treatment, but they are not the necessarily the be-all end-all in terms of changing the pattern.
Right, right. So you still are looking at every individual person that comes through.
Right. Even though we might use our, you know, special points that may show up more regularly, that's sort of a layer.
Yeah. Do you have any particular special points that you are very fond of at the moment?
Well, that's a good question. I did a training about a year ago, continuing ed in neurological acupuncture, and it uses a system of scalp acupuncture that's relatively new. So, you know, new in Chinese medicine terms is like 60 years old. You know?
Scalp acupuncture. So that's like through all the hair.
On the head, yeah.
Wow.
And the scalp has these kind of multiple layers of tissue when the needle goes into the fourth layer of that kind of geology. But the, you know, so that system stands outside of the kind of classic meridian system, and it's a kind of an overlap in terms of our Western neurology and the use of the needle. So it's, you know, it's a different layer of treatment working in a different way and works kind of more directly. So that's been, that's new to me. You know, I've been in practice almost 24 years, and I've been working with this for about a year. So it presents the opportunity to work in a different way with things that I may have seen already been working with and seen, and a layer of more effectiveness in some cases. So I'm kind of grooving on those, like seeing when and how to use them, how they work well or don't work well with body points and other treatment strategies I might use. So I'm doing more of those, you know, than I certainly was doing before, because they're new to me. I'm getting to know them, which has been cool.
Yeah, it's that constant curiosity.
Yeah, like, what's that about? How does that fit in with what I already am doing and thinking about?
Yeah.
You know, I'm always drawn to the points that really help the nervous system relax. You know, the yin tang point between the eyebrows that, you know, most people will have when they're on somebody's table. The ear acupuncture points are great for sort of helping the nervous system rest. And, you know, it's my experience that whatever you can do to help the body relax during a treatment really helps integrate whatever else you're doing. So my goal anyway is to always help the person be as relaxed and as restful as possible, so everything else can kind of do its thing. So I'm always sort of throwing those points in, regardless of pattern discrimination, because I want, you know, that slightly sedating effect, because I think that really helps everything else land.
So you're really trying to get people into the zone.
I do. I love that. Yeah, I really, you know, and not everybody goes there, and not everybody goes there every time. But, you know, that's a sort of, when I come back and I see that somebody's had the chance to really deeply rest or feel restored in that way, that feels like, that's very satisfying, you know.
Yeah.
I'm always joking, you know, people are like, oh, I think I was snoring. And I was like, you know, in those cultures where belching is a sign of like a good, you know, a thank you to the, you know,
yeah,
the chef, you know, like I think snoring is like that for me. I'm like, awesome. Yay.
Yeah. You're like, I designed it that way.
That's right. Oh, I'm so glad you rested. So. I do. I feel like I'm super fussy about comfortable. Like, I want the room to be really comfortable. I feel like we have so few opportunities to really kind of rest and be quiet and still. And, you know, I think a lot of, you can certainly do acupuncture fast. You can do lots of people in a room. There's lots of ways of doing it, and they all have benefits. And I don't have a sense that one's better than the other. It's just that the way I do it is what resonates with me. So I, you know, that's the kind of way I roll. So I want, you know, when possible, for people to really to have the opportunity to rest quietly and be comfortable and warm and safe. And so that's kind of how I set things up.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that. And, you know, earlier in the show, you mentioned how the field of acupuncture is really rapidly expanding. Mm-hmm. And I've been seeing a lot, too, with the facial rejuvenation.
Yeah.
The scalp acupuncture that you just mentioned.
Right.
Another one of my former guests on the show does acupuncture with animals. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, popping up lots of places.
Yeah. What do you have a favorite of these kind of new groups of acupuncture, I don't know, styles or methods that are kind of popping up, or anything that you saw that was kind of unusual?
Well, again, I think it's interesting. People, you know, when I'm on various Facebook groups with various acupuncture clusters of people, and you know, so I sort of watch kind of from afar, just with curiosity, like, well, what are those kids up to?
Yeah,
because I feel a little like a mama acupuncturist. I'm like, what are the youngsters up to now?
Well, after being in your career for over 20 years, you know, absolutely,
right. Yeah. So that's fun. It's kind of like, oh, you know, so the conversations are very interesting, you know, to sort of be like, oh, okay, they have this. I don't know. It's hard to describe the shift in perspective, but you know, they're graduating from school at a different time and place, and their jobs are to jump in the medical system, really. And that's, you know, that integration's really starting to happen. They are, and I guess all of us to a large extent are figuring out how to interface with Western medicine more effectively, more consistently. So that's such a big change, right? We've sort of operated outside of the, off the radar, you know, as more of an alternative medicine, and you know, then sort of gradually into sort of what they call CAM, complementary and alternative medicine, and integrative medicine, right? All the language is really changing about where acupuncture fits into the medical model. You know, one of the big changes that I have embraced is the VA, the Veterans Administration, is covering acupuncture. And so I have a large number of veterans, which has been an amazing opportunity to work with people who would most likely not get acupuncture, right? They wouldn't be exposed, they wouldn't be able to afford it. So having a whole group of people who show up because their doctors sent them is a very different dynamic, right? Especially here in the Valley, we're used to people who are like, you're my eighth acupuncturist, you know, like, well, yeah. I've tried, you know, Japanese, and I've tried, you know, they're in the know, you know, so which is awesome. That's its own cool thing to be kind of in that. And it's also amazing to just work with people who've never had acupuncture. They don't know anything about it. They show up because they have a prescription to do so and somebody else is paying for it. It's a really different dynamic.
Totally.
And it's been great. I've really loved doing that. And in terms of specialization, it does, you know, everybody's dealing with different things, but you can imagine almost everybody that I see is dealing with both the interface between chronic pain and PTSD. So there is that sense that you're seeing, you know, the patterns that are connected to those issues and the interplay between them. So there is kind of an advanced, you know, kind of awareness when you're working with so many people dealing with that, you know, kind of cluster.
Yeah.
So that's been a real, that's been very invigorating for me to work with people who would, you know, I think a lot of people, and this isn't true across the board for veterans by any stretch, but, you know, people who have some medical trauma, right? People who have chronic conditions that are used to being in the medical system, and sometimes in really helpful ways and sometimes in ways that have left them feeling very unseen and very misunderstood, right? So to be able to be in the position to help people sort of reclaim their relationship to their bodies and to their health and their own well-being, to feel more empowered in their medical experiences or health experiences is, I love that. I find that really invigorating and, you know, sort of an honor and a privilege to help, you know, with the ways that people really get disembodied when they're dealing with chronic situations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, you know, it obviously says a lot about the VA because, you know, they're a very traditional, conservative organization.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're recognizing...
They're opening a big door.
That's huge.
Big door.
Is that just in Massachusetts or is that federally?
It's a federal program. There are people all over the country that are, you know, certainly there's places where they don't have acupuncturists yet, you know, or enough. But that's really opening up very interesting layers of conversation to have a federal program covering acupuncture.
Wow.
It's pretty wild. I know. It's been pretty amazing.
So if a veteran or somebody who loves a veteran is curious about getting acupuncture, how would they?
They would start with their primary care provider at the VA and say, you know, I know that this service is available. And is that something that I could get a referral for? Yeah, and there's a bunch of us in the Valley, you know, who are providers for them. So that's, you know, there are a good posse of folks that are working with the veterans in our area. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. I've been working with the veterans maybe 5 or 6 years, and they're constantly changing their systems. It's like, you know, it's tedious. It's, you know, for those of us that have operated outside of the medical system, it's quite a project to jump in the fray with insurance billing. It's like, oh boy, here we go. Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, at the moment anyway, this could change, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's felt, you know, it's felt worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. So that's really that's excellent. That makes me really happy to hear that they're getting some care. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've worked with some veterans at the hospital at Bay State Franklin as part of the complimentary program up there, and they you know, it's so beautiful to watch somebody cry. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's your version of snoring for me.
Right.
You're like, yay. I'm like, thank you. Just let that go. Yeah. Like, it's okay that we're in semi-public here. Like, it's better out than in.
That's right.
You know? And so it's a really beautiful population of people who are open, that want to feel better. Right. And that are dealing with a lot of stuff.
They've been around the block.
Right? Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't even imagine. So. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Energy Matters. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and we're sitting here chatting with Lynn Curry today, who's an acupuncturist right here in Florence. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to listen to Higher and Higher by Jackie Wilson. So please do stay tuned. We've got lots more show for you. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters. I'm your host, Caroline Rutterman, and we are here chatting with Lynn Curry today. So welcome back, Lynn.
Thank you.
Yes.
Glad to be back.
So if you're just tuning in, Lynn is an acupuncturist, and we were just chatting about how federally the veterans are now allowed to basically get a referral for acupuncture, and how you are one of those, the providers locally. And you mentioned that a lot of times this is their first, the veterans coming in, it's their first experience with acupuncture. And I was curious as to what your first experience with acupuncture is.
Yeah.
It was.
Right. So I moved to the Happy Valley in 1991. And my first acupuncturist was Verena Smith in Amherst. And she's still in practice. She's amazing. If I'm one of the acupuncture mamas, she's the grandma.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Acupuncture elders.
Exactly. She's been here a long time and an amazing practitioner. So, I remember I must have been, 21, 22 when I had my first acupuncture treatment. I was trying to even remember what I think I had some like eczema on my eyelids, and I had asthma and a little cluster of things I was dealing with, and a friend had recommended her. And one of the part that stands out most to me about that experience was, when the needles went in and I was resting, I just started to cry and my ears filled up with tears. And that experience of just that energy release or that shift, or, maybe being in someone's care, the sort of vulnerability of that and the gift of that, to be able to sort of be cared for in that way, and shifting that energy that had been sort of stuck. So I'm always like, when other people's little ears fill up with tears, I'm always like, I know, right? I feel ya.
Yeah.
So that was my memory. But I think one of the things that, Verena taught me both as her patient and as my mentor later, was about how to help somebody be really comfortable. I like to create that kind of cozy, cozy experience.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
It's good.
So, what does your office look like now? Mm. What is, mm-hmm. I'm assuming
yeah.
you want to, well, I know you want to get people into the deep zone, resting, right. calming down their nervous system. Mm-hmm. So when people step into your office, like what does that look like? What does right. it feel like in there?
Yeah. So, I'm in a office suite with a variety of other people. We've got a few acupuncturists, and we've got massage people and chiropractor and therapists. So we have a waiting room with a little fish tank, and, we always have an art show up. Right now we've got Kate Childs, local artist, who's amazing.
Cool.
And we've got beautiful artwork by Lenny Fried, who's also local. And so we have pretty things to look at, and water and People Magazine, because, you can never be too groovy for People Magazine.
Keep up on Bachelor.
Exactly. Everybody wants, I call it it's like a little bag of potato chips, right? And of course there's many hands and, other things, but everybody's always reading People Magazine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, so you come in and you sit in the waiting room and I come get you. I've got three treatment rooms, but kind of a spacious schedule. So I sort of have the opportunity to let people rest a nice long time if they need that. And we always talk, we sit, there's chairs, and we sit face to face and talk and get the update and find out what happened last time. When I do a health history intake, we have a good long front end time to do the health history and go through the paperwork and get the lay of the land. And I always do a treatment on the first visit along with the intake, so that everybody sort of has the whole experience. So there's always talking, there's always lying on the table. I sometimes have people who are unable to lie on the table, and I've got some other options. I've got a recliner, like a lawn chair recliner, if somebody can't sit and be on a table. Occasionally I have people who, prefer to just sit in the chair. So we can work with whatever is. Lots of pillows in case somebody needs to be propped up or on their side. The room's typically warm. It's got, lights can go out, and I've always got music, and the needling portion of the event is, probably takes, 5 to 10 minutes. So there's talking, needling, and napping. And so typically in my practice, people rest kind of 35 to 45 minutes, which is a long retention time compared to some. But in my experience, our busy little American minds sometimes take a little while to settle in.
Yep.
So it's nice to have the chance to kind of like settle all the way in, kind of get in the zone. So that's kind of what it looks like. You come, you sit, you wait, we talk. Lie down, needles go in, nap happens. Yeah. I'm the soup to nuts person. So then you meet me out front and I switch hats and, you know, we do scheduling and all that kind of stuff too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Mm-hmm. And so there's three different treatment rooms. So mm-hmm. if somebody gets a little extra emotional, they can mm-hmm. kind of like rest a little bit longer.
Yeah, usually there's compose a little space themselves. For that. Yeah.
That's so nice. Not to have to like walk right out into
you
the
gotta
world.
You got to go. Move them out.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we've got options.
And on your website on lynncurry.com, which is LynnCurry.com, I saw that you had been through a 2-year Chinese herbal medicine mm-hmm. Program, which you said you had actually been through twice.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about how herbs fit into your practice?
Sure. Yeah. So when I was in acupuncture school in the late 80s and early 90s, the herbal programs was separate, so you could opt in or opt out, you know. So some of my classmates did the herbal program while we were in the acupuncture program, and then I and along with some other of my classmates did the herbal program after. So I went, did the herbal, I think maybe I even took a year off. So it was maybe, when did I, whatever, 97, 98, 99, somewhere around there, I did the 2-year herbal program, which was, like I said, separate from the acupuncture program. So I've been trained since the late 90s to practice Chinese herbal medicine. And Chinese herbal medicine's hard. You know, it's very deep, very different than other kinds of herbal medicine. It's based on, you know, pattern discrimination. We have these classical formulas that are, in some cases, you know, many hundreds of years old and have been in practice, you know, in use for a long time. And then they're infinitely modifiable, right? We have these custom formulas as well as what we call patent formulas, which come in pill form or tinctures or, you know, that are already sort of contained formulas. So it's just an incredible amount of diagnostic skill and understanding the herbs as individuals and understanding the interactions of the herbs and figuring out formulas that are customized to each patient. It's sort of an endless pursuit, academic pursuit to work with Chinese herbal medicine. And so my teacher, also local, Sharon Weizenbaum, who's an amazing herbalist and acupuncturist in Amherst, North Amherst, has been teaching an advanced herbal medicine training for a long time. So I did her 2-year program with the White Pine Institute to do more advanced training. And Sharon's amazing because her way of teaching diagnosis for Chinese herbal medicine was so far above and beyond any training I'd had. So it really was an amazing opportunity to really nail down some of that stuff that had always felt very fuzzy. So,
yeah.
And then I took it another round just because I could, you know, the blessing of having her local made that doable. So for me, I guess if when I'm thinking about it, I would say I do Chinese herbal medicine as an adjunct to acupuncture typically. So I feel kind of in my heart and being, I feel like I identify most strongly as an acupuncturist. That way of working with people and helping and evaluating and treating is kind of suitable to my personality and you know, my practice orients around the acupuncture. And you know, there are lots of cases where the Chinese herbal medicine is an incredible adjunct to that and support of that. I don't have a lot of patients who come just for herbal medicine. I think just because I have more of an acupuncture lens. And so that's just how it is. And that's fine for me. Sometimes people will come who want only that and not acupuncture. And sometimes, you know, that's fine and I can work with that. But I find just in practice that I always start with acupuncture. And it may be that herbal medicine is another layer that we add in. And it's, you know, it's amazing and strong and very effective medicine. And for me, I guess maybe in how my brain works or how I relate to things, it's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work. So, so I'm always kind of trying to enhance my skills and to get better at it. It's got a lot of room for growth as well. So that does keep things interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you ever grow your own materials for the herbs, mm-hmm. the Chinese herbs or anything like that?
I haven't, though there does seem to be sort of a domestic trend to try to get some of these herbs growing locally. I know we have some people in our area that are doing that. It's not sort of widely available. The Chinese herbs themselves are the ones that have been studied for all these years. Some of them, grow in China and they don't grow here. They're not our local. And so, people are trying to figure out how to grow them in the States in different kinds of conditions so that we can have a source that feels reliable. And, there people are nervous about things that are coming from China for all kinds of reasons, right?
Absolutely.
And so that is an ongoing kind of concern in the field. Like, how do you make sure these are safe and accessible? So there's certainly good reasons to be, for individuals and companies to be working on different sources. But the Chinese herbs that I use, the brand, I'm mostly using powdered granules. So they're individual herbs that have been cooked according to traditional principles and then dried and available in a powder. And so I'll make a formula out of different individual powders. Or sometimes I do have a collection of formulas that are already cooked all together and then dried and then can be modified. So those are the most flexible in terms of customizing formulas. I don't, in my practice, use raw herbs, though lots of, primarily herbal practitioners do. They're definitely potent. And the act of cooking them and engaging with them that way is helpful for a lot of people with a lot wide variety of conditions, but certainly people with chronic conditions. Sometimes the practice of working with them that way can be part of the healing process.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. If you're just tuning in, we're chatting with Lynn Curry, who is a local acupuncturist. And so, Lynn, you said that the herbs in your practice are sort of an adjunct to the acupuncture, to the needles. If somebody doesn't feel totally comfortable with needles, mm-hmm. Obviously with the herbs, is there more middle ground, or is the herbs the kind of direction that you'll end up steering somebody, or how does that all work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right, because there are certainly folks that are interested in Chinese medicine and the ideas and principles and know that they're beneficial, but the needles can be a deal breaker for people. Do have some people who are, afraid of the needles or who don't resonate with the needles.
But they're so little.
They're so small. Yeah. So, I have lots of little baby needles and little tubes and little teeny thin needles that are really short and very thin, So they're, I definitely have a handful of very sensitive patients that I'm, certainly work over time to sort of help get through that part. And I very occasionally over the many years have people who just can't tolerate them. And that's okay, there are other practitioners that do, more manual techniques or, acupressure or other ways of, lots of different other ways of moving the energy without the needles. I don't tend to employ those. So I feel like most people who come to me are able to get comfortable with the needles, or I may send them to different kind of practice. If that feels like that part's not going to work and the herbs are not, what they're interested in.
Yeah. Those are your little extensions of you.
Yeah.
The needles.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. So we're going to take another short break, and we're going to listen to Skywalker. Actually, we're going to listen to Astroplane by Valerie June. So we've got a little bit more show for you. So stay tuned.
Is there a light you have inside you can't touch? A looking glass can only show you so much. Follow the signs slowly but steady. Don't
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Energy Matters, and we are here chatting with Lynn Curry today. So welcome back, Lynn.
Hello again.
Hi. So you were just starting to tell me a very interesting conversation about how sometimes when people come in, they're really, really curious as to what's going on and what all the tongue diagnosis and the heartbeat and the pulse reading and all of that. And then sometimes people are more just like, just come in and just want the treatment.
Take care of me.
Yeah. So when you're kind of working with, how do you, when people are first coming in to see you, what is that initial intake process like? Like, can you walk through people what your basic, you know, because I know you're probably going to get some herbs as an adjunct, but definitely the needles. That's like your style.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Chinese, if anyone's ever had acupuncture or Chinese medicine, that, you know, the intake is a lot of nitty gritty, right? We're asking all sorts of detailed questions on the intake form, right?
I saw the intake form on your website
how many times a day do you pee? And what's your, foods do you crave?
And it was like for women, it was like, what are your cramps like? Yeah. What are your periods like?
Yeah, a lot of details. So I think, first of all, people are not usually familiar with having so many and such a wide range of questions when they're getting any kind of medical
attention.
Certainly
don't get that at the doctor's office when you go to your primary care.
Yeah, so some people's response to that is interesting. They're kind of like sort of horrified to see all the check marks, and some people are curious about that, and some people are relieved to have somebody who's looking at all the check marks, right? I think so often we're in current times, everything gets sort of segregated, separated, right? You have like your doctor for the eyeball and the doctor for the hip and the doctor for the skin, and everybody's sort of pulled apart and never put back together again. So to have anybody who's asking about all those systems at the same time is kind of a relief for a lot of people. So the intake does kind of goes through the system. So from a Chinese medicine diagnosis process, we're looking, we're asking. So the health history intake is the asking part. We're, you know, getting all the nitty gritty. And, you know, in that process where I'm starting to sort of form a picture in my head about how their systems are functioning and where imbalances are, where things, you know, that should be happening aren't happening, and where things that are happening shouldn't be happening, you know. So, you know, starting to assess that with the asking of all the nitty-gritty questions. So certainly addressing and getting a lot of details about the main complaint or multiple complaints, but also about the systems in general, really understanding the digestive system and the menstrual cycle and the immune system, and understanding how all those things are working and not working lets me know what direction we need to go in. So the intake part's pretty elaborate. From a Chinese medicine perspective, we're also looking, so we're checking demeanor and quality of skin and the eyes and the quality of the hair and what's happening with the hands and the posture and how's the gait when they come in and, you know, all that stuff. So we're looking and observing what information we can glean from how they're physically presenting. We're looking at the tongue, that's part of looking, and we're taking the pulses, which is feeling. We may palpate the abdomen, we may, you know, feel the muscles or the musculature if we're working with certain kinds of conditions. So, you know, palpating and getting our hands on people and trying to understand what's what we can gather from touch. So the intake process is really looking at all those different layers and synthesizing that into a Chinese medicine diagnosis. And sometimes the diagnosis is, you know, from the various kinds of trainings I've had, may be a more meridian diagnosis. It may not be liver qi overacting on the spleen or, you know, that. It may be really understanding where the qi is blocked and making an assessment about the best way to get that moving. So, you know, there's different sort of lenses that I might use depending on the kind of complaints and what's presenting.
And so, and you had also mentioned that sometimes people come in and they feel that, you know, they've come in for maybe two different times, mm-hmm. and that, you know, they feel better, and yeah. then that's it. Or uh-huh. like, how does, and I know you said this is not across the board and it's not mm-hmm. as a generalization, but you did specify that sometimes men do that.
Uh-huh.
Can you?
Yeah. I mean, this is the huge generalization and it doesn't
happen across
the
board.
We love men. Yeah, yeah. But great. Often, you know, I think that the, you know, the, let's get this done, right? The, you know, the goal is this left knee, and, you know, if we get two or three treatments in, and it's either going to be better or it's not, we're going to move on. You know, the sort of, you know, again, that sort of just like wanting to get it handled and move on. And I think, you know, and that certainly there are women who are like that too, but often there's so many layers to healing, right? Like we can cover so much territory with acupuncture and herbs in terms of, you know, somebody may come with the main complaint of a left knee pain, but it might turn out also that their sleep's not so great and that their appetite's a little low or their sex drive is down or they're, you know, having trouble with blurry vision or, you know, other things that they may just be living with or tolerating and not sort of knowing as part of an imbalance, right? They've just tolerated that. So, you know, sometimes if we're, you know, very specifically focused on the main complaint, you know, that's, of course, we want to get those things handled, but we also have the opportunity to address other ways that imbalance is playing out, you know. So I love it when I have the chance to do that, those other layers, right, while we're in there. It's like, oh, right, and everything's going to work better if you're sleeping better, right? Everything's going to work better if your appetite's good and you're pooping, you know, like yeah. everything's going to be better if we can handle some of these other things that might be in the way. So if we have the opportunity to not be, you know, hyper-focused on the one complaint, you know, one and done and moving on, you know, then we can get some deeper layers of healing and also preventative care for other things that may become more of a problem. So I find that sometimes that's harder for men to sort of grok that, you know, it's sort of like, but my knee hurts and I'm going to get that fixed and move on, which yeah. is fine. But sometimes we miss the chance to kind of handle some of those other things that might be vexing or coming down the pike that could get handled now. So when we have that chance, that's nice.
Do you feel like that is a cultural training from the, from gender? Do you think that that is something that is the medical model that they're mm-hmm. working under when yeah. they should be, when it's a holistic system that they're in? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it? Right. Why do you think that this happens specifically with that group of folks?
Yeah, that's a good question. I I do think there's some sense, and again, this is a generalization, but that sort of like idea of fixing, right, versus healing. Those are kind of different.
What are the difference between fixing and healing?
Yeah, so fixing is sort of like, you know, what you would do with a medication, right? You were like, I have a symptom, I'm going to do this, and then the symptom's going to go away, right? And or it's not, and then I'm going to move on to the next thing that might help that symptom. So, you know, that sort of idea of fixing is really built into our medical idea, right? You know, you seek out help, you want the problem resolved, and then you're going to move on. You know, never mind that you might wind up at a different doctor for a different problem 6 months later, right? That, you know, and then we're going to fix that problem. You know, that I think that fixing is kind of part of, you know, kind of part of how we see bodies and when we see lives, and, you know, you know, I think healing is a very different dynamic process, you know, that there's that things present themselves for our attention, and that when we can address those as they present and be present with them and allow care for them, you know, then we can work on other layers, you know, that we have the opportunity to work in layers that way. So that's a really different idea than fixing a main complaint or a problem, right? We certainly want those things to get addressed. If somebody comes for a problem, I want that addressed. But sometimes healing requires more layers, more attention.
Yeah. And I think it requires other looking into like what else is going on in the body and feeling what else is going on in the body,
right,
versus something that's screaming at you versus something else that might be maybe an emotional layer that,
right,
you know.
Right. It's asking for a different level of attention.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's really interesting. I'm fascinated with men and healing. I don't know why, but it's, you know, I often find that, you know, women are like open to doing yoga,
right,
and they're
seeking.
open to seeking. And they're like, they want to learn how to care for themselves as well as their family. And they're kind of taught these things. And then the kind of process with how men get there, usually much, much, much later in life, is just fascinating. It's a fascinating thing because it's
That's true.
They're going against all their cultural teachings.
Though it is interesting. I'm wondering, I guess I don't see so many younger men, but I do feel like, you know, at the risk again of generalizing that the maybe millennial guys are a little different. Maybe
they're so much better
wired off. Way differently in terms of that. So I do
I
feel like I've had some much younger men in their 20s and early 30s that are in more in that like wanting to really work in those layers, you know, which seems different than their previous generation who are just like, oh, let's just get this done and move on.
Yeah.
You know? And again, I've had, you know, men of all ages that are doing multiple different layers of kind of work. And, you know, one of the interesting things about working with the veterans, which is not exclusively, but largely men, I'm working with, you know, Vietnam era veterans who've been suffering for 50 years,
oh
right?
My gosh.
You know, they're still really on a healing journey, or maybe just actually starting a healing journey. They maybe have been on a fixing journey. And some of them are now in working on different layers of that. It's an amazing opportunity to see somebody who's been suffering in so many ways for so long have a different relationship to those symptoms.
Yeah. And, you know, we're all connected. So if these folks get a chance to heal and release, that works for the collective.
Yeah.
You know, so it's everybody benefits when those folks are getting the love and the healing that they need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, we are coming towards the top of our show. So how can people find you? Where are you?
Yeah. Where am I? I do have a website. It's www.lynncurry.com. I'm not super great with the social media stuff, so you can come to my website and I've got information and access there. You can email me there. Call me if you want to go old school.
I love calling people. It's my favorite.
Email is fine.
People always answer the phone. Hello?
Hi? Are you a telemarketer?
Are you okay?
Sorry, are you hurt? Send help. Alert system has been activated. That's awesome. Yeah. So, that's the old way to get in touch.
All right.
Yeah, I'm around.
And your website is lynncurry.com, which is LynnCurry.com.
That's it.
All right. And do you have any words for somebody who is just getting into the world of acupuncture that might take some seasoned advice from advice from a seasoned acupuncturist of 20 plus years?
You mean a practitioner or patient?
Oh, a practitioner. Somebody who's just getting into the work to do the work.
Yeah, interesting. That's a great question. Trust the medicine. You know, I think oftentimes it's hard to hunker down and people want to keep adding other modalities and adding and adding and adding and don't always sort of trust the depth of the medicine. So I love to see people really go all the way with all that Chinese medicine has to offer.
It's extensive. Mm-hmm. Thousands of years.
Yeah, we've been around the block.
Do you have any hopes to do any big trainings in China or with any kind of like famous?
Not this week.
Not this week. But yeah, not during the coronavirus week. Any like any trainings that you have are sort of like, oh, I really want to take that training.
There. Yeah, I have some interest. I'm not there yet. I've got a teenager. I'm not ready to do this, but I'm interested in the sort of acupuncture without borders, the idea of being able to work in other communities in emergency situations and fallout, which is a pretty amazing. We have some local people that participate in that, and that has some appeal for, you know, future time to be able to sort of travel and work in other places.
Is that in like if when there was like the the earthquake in Haiti, the disaster places? That would be cool.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neat. Well, let us know when you're doing that, because that sounds really fun.
Thank you.
Fun, you know what I mean? Like interesting. And passionate. Yes, that's the word. That is the word. Well, do you have any last pieces of wisdom that you'd like to throw into the universe?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me and for holding this space for people to have these conversations, because I think it helps us all to be talking about healing and all the different ways we can do that and to be collaborative in that way. So I just want to thank you for that opportunity.
Well, you're welcome. Everyone, you're welcome.
Carry on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Lynn.
Thanks,
and if people are curious, you can, like I said, go back onto the website and there's a lot of information there onto lynncurry.com. And if you're just tuning into this show right now and or any other show that you'd like to hear in the past from Energy Matters, you can go onto my website, which is reikinorthampton.com/radio, and you can see all the archived episodes posted on there. So don't hesitate to go. We've had some amazing guests, including today's. So thank you again, and I hope everyone has an amazing weekend, and we are going to close out with Skywalker. So be well, everyone.
Thanks, Caroline.
Yeah. Splish. Don't sleep, you gotta stay up. Look, I'm outstanding, so I stand out. Yeah. More babes in a bathhouse. Yeah. I'm top gun on my Tom Cruise. I play for keeps and I don't lose. You more than love it, cause I'm cool as a breeze. So pick your poison, yeah, I got what you need. Nonchalant, got the green on rotation all night. We gon' keep it psychedelic.